In the world of self-storage, few concepts are discussed as much and misunderstood as much as cap rates are. Let's talk about that today. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of this Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer small investors who want to get in the self-storage business or who want to grow their self-storage business. If you're seeing this in the first quarter of 2024, we have a live, virtual, online Quick Start Academy self-storage boot camp coming up March 8th and March 9th. This is designed to take you from wherever you are now, whether you're in the business and wanting to grow or whether you're just contemplating getting in the business, all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service in today's environment with today's numbers and today's interest rates. You can find out more about it at the link in the comment section below if you're watching this on YouTube or in the show notes. If you're listening to a podcast or in episode 410, if you're on creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. It's the premier training I offer, and there'll be a lot of benefits and extra surprises in this boot camp. We hear the term cap rates all the time. Now, the reality is I haven't seen an accurate cap rate in an offering memorandum since, well, ever. I don't think I've ever seen one. I've seen firsthand how people misuse, misunderstand, and don't have a real grasp on what cap rates are and how they apply, particularly in the acquisition phase of getting in the self-storage business. In this episode, let's examine what at least I think a cap rate is, how I suggest small investors use them in acquisition and use them in their analysis process. At its core, a cap rate represents a rate of return that a real estate investment is going to produce. However, the devil's in the details. You really have to look way beyond what's in an offering memorandum to really get what a cap rate is, or a going-in cap rate, or a cap rate on an existing facility really is. I'll promise you, it's not what's in an offering memorandum. Think of the last appraisal you saw or had done, and it really doesn't matter what type of property, what the asset class is. An appraiser will usually come up with three value approaches and then heavily weigh one of them. The three value approaches are comparable sales, income approach, and replacement cost. Now, depending on what's being appraised, the appraiser will more heavily weigh one or the other. For example, when you buy a home or you're selling a home, the appraisal will more heavily weigh the comparable sales approach. But when you're buying or selling or refinancing income-producing commercial real estate, the appraiser uses the income approach and will heavily weigh that. There'll be comps and there'll be a replacement value, but what's really going to a large degree, determine the value of a self-storage facility is the income approach. This is where capitalization rates really come in. So every income-producing property has income, usually rent, and operating expenses, utilities, taxes, all the operating expenses for running a real estate asset. With storage, it could be management, personnel, repairs and maintenance, taxes, insurance, etc., etc. What's not included in operating expenses is the loan, and what's not included in operating expenses are capital improvements, such as replacing a roof, putting up a new sign, those. What it costs to run that project are the operating expenses. So income minus operating expenses equals net operating income, NOI. So it doesn't matter what it is, storage, apartments, office building, every income-producing piece of real estate generates an NOI, the cash flow that that asset's creating from operating income. What is a ready, willing, and able buyer willing to pay for that cash flow? That's where the cap rates come into play. At any given moment, for any given asset, there tends to be a, quote, market cap rate. An appraiser today might say for self-storage, that would be, let's say, 7%. If it's high-quality institutional-grade self-storage in a large market today, it might be 6.5% or so. In other words, a institutional buyer in a large market is willing to pay whatever it takes on that cash flow to get a 6.5% return. Why not include the loan? Well, you could pay all cash, the NOI is the same, or you could do 100% financing, the NOI is the same. So to determine value and have more of an apples to apples is what will a ready, willing, and able buyer pay for that NOI, and what would their return be, in essence, if it was an all-cash offer? What you need to be aware of is that the cap rates quoted in the offering memorandums are not the cap rates for that particular asset. Okay, let's look at what an appraiser would do, and let's look at what an investor should do. What an investor or an appraiser will do is they will get the last calendar year and or the trailing 12 months worth of P&Ls and determine how much income was created and what the operating expenses are. That's the NOI. Then you would apply, let's say, a 7 cap to it to come up with a current market value. Let's look at a typical storage facility that we would see today. Income $750, operating expenses $307.5. So you got an NOI of $442,500. 7 cap, and again, the actual math is that 442.5 divided by 0.07 tells us that that particular storage facility is worth $6,321,429. But you won't see that in the offering memorandums. Once an agent gets through with the market adjustments, you will generally see more income than that asset's producing and less operating expenses than that asset's producing. Not always, but usually. That same facility would look very similar to this in an offering memorandum. Income, $787, because the owner doesn't price the units at what they should be. Operating expenses, $287.2, because the owner pays more in operating expenses than he probably should be. So what they'll tell you is the real NOI is $499,800, or, and then they may even use a lower cap rate, but at a 7 cap, that would put a 7.140 value on it. Now, many investors, especially if you're new in the space, will look at a 7 cap and think, wow, that's a good cap rate. So a word of advice, never assume the performas and the OMs are correct. You, as an investor, doing a six-figure real estate play, need to run your own numbers. Remember, the listing agents work for the sellers, and they don't have a fiduciary responsibility to you. Their fiduciary responsibility is the seller, and their job is to maximize what the seller gets. So, in the boot camp, for example, I teach everybody, use your own numbers. But I don't know what my numbers are. I've never owned a storage facility. Well, there's ways to get what real numbers are. For example, the self-storage almanac. But what I typically do is I think through how I'm going to run a facility. Let's talk about operating expenses first. I think about how I'm going to run a facility. I don't care what the OM has in there for personnel and bonuses and things like that. I think through how I'm going to run the facility. What is the market rate for a manager in that wherever part of the country I'm at? And that's information that can be found out pretty simple by Googling it usually. What will my repairs and maintenance be? I know from owning facilities what I spend on repairs and maintenance. We'll go over that in the boot camp. But if you don't know, the self-storage almanac's what I use. When I first got going, I looked at what average maintenance, repair and maintenance costs were per square foot and they'll divide it into regions of the country, and I would use that number, not what the previous seller did. I don't know how the previous seller ran his facility. The only real numbers I look at and are interested in, and again, I compare them to my numbers or to the almanac if you don't have numbers, but the ones I really pay attention to are, what are they paying currently for utilities? What are they paying for property tax? The brokers and the OMs will usually use the correct mill rate and determine what the tax rate, taxes would be if they sold it at list price. And what are they paying in insurance? Now, usually we'll bump those up a little bit, except maybe the property taxes. I'll lower that, perhaps, depending on what I think I'm going to offer. But I may get those expenses from them, and then we'll use those base numbers to project, after I do my value add play, what the operating expenses would be once I add, let's say, 25,000 more square feet. But I use my numbers based on how I'm going to run that, whether I'm going to have employees, whether it's going to be automated. And if you want a link to the self-storage almanac, there'll be one in the notes and comments wherever you're seeing this video. But that's a good resource to use, much better than using what the agent puts in a pro forma in an offering memorandum. Now, with income, I will always verify that whatever they're quoting as a street rate is somewhere within the realm of reality based on what that market is. Usually it is. Sometimes I've seen them pretty bizarre ones, but mostly it's correct. But I never assume that they're charging $90 for a 10 by 10, that that's really the market rate in that area. I'll do that research myself using Google and look at what other facilities are charging, and then adjust my unit mix based on what I think reality is in that market or how much money I'm putting in to upgrade the project. So the NOIs that I generate are very different than what's usually in the offering memorandum. Now, with all of that said, the going in cap rate, or what I'm willing to offer on a project, is rarely, if ever, determined by a cap rate on an NOI. I'll look at it, and why, it's interesting to me what it is, but it's been a long, the only time I would really use a cap rate to determine what I can offer on a storage facility play as a small investor would be if I'm going to buy it and pretty much run it and not do any value add play to it. Then the cap rate would be very important to me. But you know how long it's been since I've been able to buy a storage facility on a going in cap rate? I think 2011. Was the last time I was able to do that. As small investors, we almost always have to do some type of value add play so that we can get the returns that we need, whether we're buying it for ourselves or whether we're syndicating it or not. So the going in cap rate's pretty much irrelevant. What's very relevant is, depending on what your strategy is, what's it going to be worth after I do my value add play. That's where I'll use a cap rate. It's called a future reversion cap rate. So I will use the cap rate, let's say today I would use 7, maybe even 7.5 for future value. I don't know what the cap rates are going to be 3, 4, 5 years from now. But after I do my value add play and I lease the thing up, then applying a cap rate to the future NOI, or what I think the future NOI is going to be, is critical. That tells me, for taking this risk and burning all those calories and doing this value add play, here's what it's going to be worth. I know what my profit margins are I have to hit, and that yours will be different than mine. Everyone needs to develop their own strategy. That's like morning one, day one of the boot camp. What are your goals? Why are you getting in storage? You should know that before you ever run your first analysis. Like I knew, for example, that I needed to generate a minimum of 12 to 15% cash on cash return after I did my value add play, and I needed to create enough additional value to get my equity back a year after it hit stabilization. That's our business strategy. That was mine. Other people have different ones. But life got real simple when I started analyzing, knowing that that's what needed to occur. Now, the good news about storage is, once you're stabilized, you can pretty well predict your cash flows. I mean, you might be off a little bit on an NOI, but you're not going to be off much. You're not going to be off 10, 12, 20%. I mean, you may be off a few thousand dollars, but cash flows are very predictable with self-storage. The biggest risk in the self-storage play is how long will it take you to hit stabilization? So that's my relationship to cap rates today in the self-storage space. In other real estate assets, they play, for me, a much more important role going in. If I was a REIT, it would play a much more important role for me on the going in. As a small investor creating value, I'm much more concerned with what cap rate's going to be and what kind of NOI I'm going to be able to create in the future. That tells me what I can pay today for this particular self-storage opportunity. So you learn how to use cap rates as a small investor effectively, you'll have a long, successful life in this fantastic business of self-storage. And one of the tools I use to analyze what those future cash flows are going to be is the Storage World Analyzer. It will predict 10-year cash flows that adjust based on what reversion cap rates you're using and how much you're increasing the income per year and increasing operating expenses. And the program's designed to take you step by step through doing an analysis. If you're using Excel, great, but I invite you to look at the Storage World Analyzer. In the boot camp, everybody will be using the analyzer as we learn how to analyze existing properties, expansions, and conversions. So thank you very much. I look forward to being with you next week.